following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, August 10th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for this very special episode of Normal Show Live. You know, usually when we come to hear from Rolla J Studios in Potland, Oregon, our studio audience is kind of theater of the mind, but today, you can take a look at the studio cam here. We are jam-packed here at Rolla J Studios. Say hi, studio audience! That's exactly right. That's exactly the right response. Also joining us here, as usual, to my right, running the starship, as it were, Captain Ganja John.
What's up, Russ? How you doing?
You've been promoted to captain.
Captain, I like it. That means
I'm admiral. Also joining us across the table is Wiz Calico.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Wiz Calico got a last-minute reprieve here.
Yeah, I did. I was going to have to do the news, but Carrie made it just under the gun.
That's right. Speaking of Carrie, in our virtual studios in beautiful Grass Storia, Oregon, the lovely Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
First mate. Yes.
Carrie, you are helping provide some estrogen to this room today. Not the only one, though. We have another fine lady in the room as well.
Jackie's in the audience here. Say hi,
Jackie.
Jackie.
Let's hear it for the sisters.
Sisters are doing it for themselves. All right. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what do we got in the news today, Carrie?
Oh, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I do know.
You do know.
So we're going to talk about what organic actually means when we're discussing cannabis. Also, I'm going to tell you about some Montana dispensary owners who are up against charges based on those March raids that we told you about earlier this year. Another military style raid that I wanted to tell you specifically about, Russ, because you love those fancy names. Mm-hmm. And the Michigan Attorney General had a conference today, and I'm going to have to tell you all about that as well.
All right. That'll be coming up in the hemp headlines right after the first break. I've also got an update. You may remember the story of Patricia Spotted Crow, the Oklahoma mother who was sentenced to 10 years in prison for selling $31 worth of marijuana. We got a letter from her, so we are going to be reading that letter for you, and it will definitely jerk a tear, so have some Kleenex handy. Also, at 20 after, we've got our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. Wiz Calico is going to bring us a tune today. Calico, who do we got in the Irie Toker Tunes today?
We got a good friend of mine, K-Boy Kano, with The Right Herb.
The Right Herb. Perfect. Sounds great. Also, at half past, it's Wednesday, so we always do our cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be joining us by Skype and taking your live questions through call-ins or through our chat room, so stay tuned for that. And then, very special guest in the studio today at 45 past will be speaking with Subcool from Team Green Avenger, one of the finest cannabis breeders out there, and be asking all sorts of questions, so we got plenty to talk about. Also, check out these sweet hats we got. Got this really nice Radical Russ hat you can see there. Ganja John's got the Ganja John one in green. You got him on the cam. These are all from handmadeapparel.biz. You can get your Radical Russ, Ganja John, Wiz Calico, and Cannabis Carry gear, as well as Cannabis Cure UK, John Doe Radio, and others at handmadeapparel.biz. Check it out. We're back right after this with your hemp headlines. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's NORML.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
In California, it's not difficult to find the word organic on a label from marijuana purchased from a dispensary. But what patients need to know is there really is no way to be certain if the cannabis you are toking on is really grown organically or not, because there is no official qualification for organic marijuana. Organic crops and products are labeled that way because certified agencies certify them through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It is a program that was developed after decades of advocacy groups and organic farmers working for classification and labeling made that possible. But since the USDA does not recognize marijuana as a legal crop, no certification agencies can give marijuana the seal of organic approval. Medical marijuana is left out of the equation when it comes to organic labeling. Jane Wade, a developmental specialist at the California-based Certified Organic Farmers, the largest organic certification agency in the country, says that she fields calls about certifying marijuana crops a few times a month. Consumers of marijuana would like to know if they are ingesting pesticides or other toxins, but she says that it is up to the marijuana industry itself to take action. She said that the industry can go ahead and apply the standards of organic farming just as long as they don't actually call it organic. Chris Van Hook, a Crescent City, California lawyer and a USDA organic inspector, has been working on a solution since 2003. He launched a certification service called Clean Green that is modeled after the USDA program. His service offers cannabis farmers that to have a similar standard in organic labeling. And since his law practice focuses on medical marijuana law, he also provides a review of legal compliance. And with the shield of attorney-client privilege, he ensures an open discussion on the issues. He thinks that it is crucial for the industry to develop standards themselves since no official agency is willing to take the job. Steve Lynn, a spokesman for the California Agricultural Department, says that they regard the issue as one for law enforcement. But Van Hook said that since the industry is still largely unregulated, that anything can get in the stream of commerce. He says his own inspections of growers who call themselves organic have found issues such as a woman who thought it was okay to use human manure for fertilizer, or a man who set up a bug bomb in a small indoor grow just days before harvest. At an outdoor farm, he found piles of chicken and goat manure blowing onto sticky buds, all issues that would exempt a crop from getting an organic rating. Dispensaries are at the forefront of wanting to be able to sell organic products. One dispensary in Aptos carries only one type of cannabis with a Clean Green certification and would like to stock more, but they can't find any other growers willing to step up and pay for self-regulation. He does use laboratories to regularly test the cannabis he stocks. Mold, pesticides, mildew, and potency can all be tested through a lab. But organic can only be certified, and until then, it is up to patients and consumers to trust farming standards.
God, this is so insane. You know, first of all, to hear this person say, well, this organic, this is really more of a issue for law enforcement. Yeah, let's ask cops to set the regulations on what's organic medicine. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Not horticulturists, not doctors, not scientists, not physicians. Let's ask the cops what they think. Yeah, that's worked out so well in places like Hawaii, where they're in control of the medical marijuana program there. This is part of the problem with the prohibition of marijuana, is that it somehow takes marijuana out of what should be some pretty standard regulations that apply to all sorts of other legal growing things. I talk with my friend Damon about this all the time, about how there are these amazing standards for growing things like tomatoes and organically certified herbs and so forth that would apply wonderfully to marijuana, maybe a couple of tweaks here and there, but we have entire regulatory agencies, we have entire books of code written to govern the growing of plants in a commercial way and to govern what is and is not organic. It's only the illegality of marijuana that prevents us from using these common sense measures on this plant. It's stupid. We've got to legalize.
In Montana this week, 35-year-old Ryan Blindham pleaded innocent to charges of conspiracy to manufacture marijuana, conspiracy to distribute marijuana, possession with intent to distribute marijuana, and conspiracy to launder monetary instruments and money laundering. Blindham was the former owner of the Black Pearl Dispensary in Olney, Montana, one of the 26 that were raided in a coordinated operation by state and federal law enforcement in mid-March. He was arraigned this week in front of U.S. Magistrate Judge Jeremiah Lynch. If convicted, he faces a mandatory 5 years of prison and a possible maximum sentence of 40 years. Now, he is the fifth person to be charged with federal crimes relating to those raids. Four others were arraigned and charged with similar crimes back on July 6th. Evan James Corum, 25 years old. Jonathan Jateski, 43 years old. Michael Kasner, 24. And Tyler Rowe, 29, were all arraigned last month. All four pleaded innocent of the charges. Blindheim told reporters that he was probably one of the biggest players in the medical marijuana industry at the time of the raids. He had invested over $300,000 in his business that included the purchase of a large warehouse and advanced growing equipment. He has been out of business since the raids. He said that he felt let down by the state that failed the entire industry for not regulating it over the last few years. He said that the industry insiders like himself were begging for guidelines right before the raids. He and the others will be back in court this fall.
You know, you really got to admire these people that are taking this step in the bleeding edge, if you will, of how this is going to be legalized and taking this risk, knowing that there's federal prosecution waiting for them. And even in states where they've decided that there is legal medical marijuana, it only takes one change of governor, one change of attorney general, a rising public sentiment to make them the target of these law enforcement operations where they can lose their entire wealth, their freedom, their children, all these things. It's such a risk they take. And one of the things I'd like to urge these people is, if you are going to make the decision to get involved with this civil disobedience of opening a dispensary or growing marijuana, whatever, is to take it to the mat, right? If you're going to make that decision, when they come to come after you, don't flip. Don't become a snitch. Don't take plea deals. We can't win this unless we get this before juries and we force juries of our peers to address these things. And I know it's a risky thing, and perhaps you risk more prison time by doing so, but, you know, if you're going to make that step into this world of activism and business and what we would call an unregulated market, then take it all the way. Take it all the way to the mat. Let's get this before some juries. Don't plea out, and certainly don't snitch.
In another military type named operation, authorities in Ukiah, California have seized an estimated $800 million worth of cannabis in a raid on illegal grows on public lands, according to a statement this morning. The effort was known as Operation Full Court Press, and it was set out to purge the Mendocino National Forest of illegal gardens. They were able to nab 632,000 cannabis plants. They arrested 132 people. Now, 118 of them were booked on federal and state charges. 14 of them were detained on immigration violations. According to a Department of Justice spokesperson, several Mexican-based drug traffic organizations were possibly behind the illegal grows, but he stopped short of blaming it all on those organizations, saying that they are continuously trying to figure out who is behind the forest workers growing marijuana for mass distribution. The $800 million price tag for the confiscated and destroyed marijuana is based on what they consider street value, or about $2,500 a pound. Officials say that they were able to seize almost 2,000 pounds of processed marijuana ready for sale, along with 38 guns and 20 vehicles. Agents also had to remove trash, chemicals, and about 40 miles of irrigation line. The operation was part of a larger local, state, and federal effort that is currently in jeopardy next year due to expected budget cuts.
Wow, all I wanted to do was grow a little marijuana. I wasn't expecting an Operation Full Court Press. Jeez. The Operation Full Court Press, Operation Green Merchant. Does it bother anyone else that we use military-style terminology for domestic policing operations? It bothers me a little bit. But boy, they uprooted 632,000 plants worth $800 million. Shucks, I guess that means nobody will be able to get any marijuana tomorrow. Doggone it.
And the state attorney general of Michigan, Bill Schuette, is pushing a package of bills to close what he refers to as loopholes in the Michigan medical marijuana law. He says that the Michigan medical marijuana law has been abused, exploited, and hijacked for pot profiteers. At a news conference this morning, Schuette said that the law has been hijacked by drug dealers who want to make money, line their pockets, and make a huge profit. Attorney General Schuette was also surrounded by lawmakers, police in uniform, prosecutors, and doctors to announce new regulation bills for Michigan medical marijuana industries. He said the current law has more holes than Swiss cheese and is out of control. He says the package of bills he is introducing is intended to fix things. Now, there were 8 bills that legislators plan to introduce in the fall, and they would cover things like prohibiting felons from being certified caregivers and no longer allowing patients to get a medical marijuana certificate online. There's also a bill that addresses the doctor-patient relationship in terms of recommending marijuana as a medical therapy. And there are more regulations for places that give marijuana out, more clarity on the definition of medical conditions that would qualify someone to receive a medical marijuana recommendation. And lastly, and most disturbingly, a law that would prevent driving under the influence of any amount of marijuana, basically saying a patient needs to choose between driving and medication. State Representative John Walsh spoke during the conference saying, "We have a goal of protecting public safety while preserving the legitimate right of people who need medical marijuana." State Senator Rick Jones, a fellow Republican, would also like to see a saliva test developed to show if a person is under the influence of marijuana behind the wheel of a car. The package of bills doesn't address the legality of medical marijuana dispensaries, but Attorney General Schuette has argued to the Court of Appeals that the law does not allow for dispensaries, an issue he is likely to take up as his bill package moves forward.
Wow, what a big mess this is. Oh, my God, the Michigan medical marijuana law is being abused, exploited, and hijacked. My God, at any moment, there might be adults walking into a place that's fairly secure for adults only and handing over cash and receiving cannabis in exchange. Oh, my God! What is the problem here, Attorney General Schuette? What the problem is that you've recognized the fact that you wouldn't recognize under prohibition, and that is, people like cannabis and are willing to pay for it. That's not an abuse. That's not exploitation. That's just commerce. You don't call it abuse, exploitation, or hijacking when Pfizer is selling us a pill at 150,000% markup. But that's abuse and exploitation, if you ask me. We're talking about an herb here that helps people, that 2 out of 3 of the people in the state of Michigan voted for. More people voted for medical marijuana than voted for Obama. It passed in 83 out of 83 counties. I think you're on the wrong side of this. And one more thing. This zero tolerance DUID here, forcing people to pick between driving and medicine, shame on you. One last update that I have to bring you. The Normal Women's Alliance has been working on sending letters to many of our folks out there that are our POT POWs, and we've put some of these on the screen. I'm going to add this address to our POT POW screen. It's Patricia Spotted Crow, the Oklahoma mother that you may remember was busted for $31 worth of pot sales. She sold a $11 bag and a $20 bag. She got 10 years in prison. She writes back to Normal, "How are you? One would say thank you for all the support for the past your group has given to me. I don't have any paper or stamps, so I'm writing you. Let them know I will write all of them soon, promise. I'm having a hard time in this place. The mail definitely lifts my spirits. I'm trying to stay busy, positive, stay focused. People like you and your group give me hope. I can't wait to go home. The support I'm receiving is pissing people off in here. Staff. It's crazy. I'm going crazy. I miss my babies, my family. This is killing me. Please keep writing. Thank you and God bless. Spotted Crow. If you'd like to send a letter to Patricia Spotted Crow, please visit the Normal front page right now, normal.org. The address is up there. And on the break here, I'll give you the addresses of other POT POWs that need your support.
What do you say we take a hit for Patricia Spotted Crow with Subcool, Ganja John, Radical Russ, Cure UK, Adam Hand, Wiz Khalifa, everybody, let's do it.
Craig from Normal's here. Yes, we're going to do it. The addresses are up
it's
there.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind. Liberate your mind, liberate.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do it.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, we get to have all sorts of fun today. So many live guests and live intros. We're turning things over today. NorCal Perps has gone on vacation, so turn things over to Wiz Khalifa for our Irie Wednesday tune.
Aloha, guys. Today I'm going to bring you a tune from my good friend, Ke'ali'i Kano, also known as K-Boy. He was originally raised and born in, he was raised in Pupukea on the majestic north shore of Oahu. And he started drumming at a very early age for Kaanui's Hula Halau. And he was, he traveled the world and he's been well known as one of the top Tahitian drummers from age 11. So now he is, living here in the Northwest and is putting out a solo album called Temperature Rise, which is coming out soon. You can check him out at kboy808kano.com. That's kboy808, K-A-N-O.com. And the same name on Facebook and Twitter. So be sure to check him out. Love this guy, and I hope you feel this song. This is Do Right Herb by K-Boy.
A case of emergency, I'm bodily in need of some sensi.
Sensi.
rolling, burning passing that jar with a me. It gives me such a positive feeling. Yes, it does, right away. The writer, only it alone can calm ya, listener. The writer, who strictly raised from the earth. My 999er. All the herb is so stinky. It hits you all over around the clock, 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 yeah. If I work, need a hit to lift me. I break to the back and I take a puff right away every day. Writer. It alone can calm ya, this nerve. The writer who strictly raised from the earth. Ah, it's a case of emergency. I'm bodily in need of some sensi.
Sensabilia.
I let the rolling, burning past you left, shall we do? It gives me such a positive feeling. Yes, it does, right away. The writer. Only it alone can calm ya, this nerve. The writer who strictly raised from the earth. My 999er. So sneaky, it hits you all over around the clock, 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 yeah. If I work, need a hit to lift me. I break to the back and I take a puff right away every day. Writer. Alone can calm ya, this nerve. The writer who strictly raised from the earth. The writer, only it alone can calm ya, this nerve.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at SeedlessSummerTour.com. Slightly stupid.
Go, we don't need no cocaine.
Revolution.
Swayze. Buzzing all over me like she fell in love.
And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Crude Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and we are joined once again by Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, doctor?
Having a great day.
Us too. We got a lot of live guests here in the studio, and we may be taking some questions from our studio audience. We're also taking questions from our virtual audience. If you're out there in the chat room and would like to get a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine answered, just send it into the chat. Put the word question before. And you know what? Carrie's not here with us today, so perhaps if you could personal message it to the Normal Show Live address, I'll see it up on the big screen, and we'll get the questions that way. Or you can dial us live at 971-533-7111. Now, at the top of the segment, we always like to give Dr. Mitch a chance to inform us on the latest studies or news about cannabis science out there. So, Dr. Mitch, what's in the PubMed this week?
As it turns out, many of you may have heard from Paul Armentano that there's a new paper suggesting that teen use of cannabis is higher in states that have medical marijuana laws. I have often mentioned a study that Taryn O'Keefe and I have updated each year showing that, in fact, changes in marijuana use in teens are not meaningful or significant in states with medical marijuana laws. So why the difference? As you can imagine, the published study is comparing states like California and Hawaii to states like Alabama and Oklahoma and saying, gee, states with medical marijuana laws have higher rates. This is true, but this was actually true before there were any medical marijuana laws in these states. Karen and I have been focusing on changes subsequent to medical marijuana laws, and then, of course, there's little impact and sometimes a small decrease.
And this is something I was just poring over. The National Surveys on Drug Use and Health released their 2008-2009 state-level data, and they have a table. It's on page 264. It compares state by state the 2002-2003 monthly teen use versus the 2008-2009. And when I looked at the medical marijuana states that at least existed through 2009, there were 13 of them, California's had gone up like 0.26%, and Colorado's had gone up 3.7%. But all the other states had declines, and most of them double-digit declines. Montana declined like 27% in the teen smoking there. Wyoming was the state where it went up the most, like 5%. So there didn't see any rhyme or reason as to whether there were dispensaries or medical marijuana laws or how soon or how late. I looked all over the country and found declines just about everywhere. So is that part of the data that you guys look at when you're making these decisions, these analyses?
Exactly, and I feel like it's the change relative to what it was prior to medical marijuana is much more relevant. And in fact, I'm going to try to reanalyze these and compare it to the adult rates of use, where if you would imagine if adult rates of use are higher, perhaps the attitudes are different, and so teen uses would be comparable to that. and we'll just see if we can make some sense of it. But I want to emphasize, too, that, you know, we've said time and again, this is not a plant that's for kids. Mm-hmm. And unless you're, you know, an approved medical user when you're under age 18, this really isn't our first line of defense for how to spend your time.
Yeah, certainly. And one thing that we've been reporting on a lot lately, and it's one of the most commented stories I have up at the Stash blog, has to do with use of this K2, the spice, you know, these synthetic cannabinoids they spray on God knows what, and the kids are smoking these days. And I was wondering, you know, right, we don't want kids to be using marijuana, but in our zeal to stop them from using marijuana, we've got them using stuff that's far, far worse, don't you think?
It's sad but true. We really don't know about these chemicals, and a lot of them are actually stronger agonists to the cannabinoid receptor than THC. They were designed, in fact, for this kind of research to go to that receptor right away and hit it really hard, and THC doesn't really do that. And so, sad but true, folks are telling me, hey, well, I'm drug tested and they don't test for this, so I'm just going to go ahead and use it. And I have to throw up my hands and say, hold on, because we really do have no idea what the long-term consequences of repeated use of these chemicals happens to be.
Another study that I'd seen come through, and I think Ethan Russo commented on it, and I got that part of the email chain, but it was something to do with fetal development and cannabis use. Was that something you had a chance to look over?
So there are some modest differences in kids who are exposed to cannabis during pregnancy in one little area of the brain, and I want to take a much closer look at these data before I really comment, because I've only seen the abstract, and I know how these things tend to go, is they often measure every single part of the brain, and sure enough, if you measure 100, one of them is bound to be different just by chance, and so I just want to make sure they didn't do that.
All right, we'll save that for next week, give you a little more chance to dig deep into it. We're taking your questions now for Dr. Mitch Earlywine here on our Cannabis Science segment. Just get them into the chat room. Find Normal Show Live over there on the right-hand side and click on it. You can send a message to Normal Show Live. That'll get the question right there on the screen for me, and we can get it asked. We got a question here from Stereotype that is kind of an interesting one. How does cannabis interact with dreaming? Are we dreaming less or just forgetting them? And why?
This is an intriguing thing that hasn't received as much attention as I wish. We do see some REM suppression, that rapid eye movement sleep, the sleep where you can see somebody's eyes moving back and forth underneath their eyelids. That's often associated with dreaming, and we do see less of that in animals when they've been exposed to THC. So something is going on there. We also do see a little bit of REM rebound when experienced users quit abruptly. So you see folks essentially having more of that REM sleep in response to a cessation of use, and that may be part of this, I get nightmares when I quit, alleged withdrawal symptom. So something's clearly going on here. It may not just be a simple failure to remember, and in fact, as people age, it seems like they decrease their amount of REM sleep as well as their ability to remember dreams. So that's also something that's sort of playing a role in this.
All right. Well, we're going to go to our live studio audience here for a question. One of our fellow broadcasters here on the Normal Network, Cannabis Cure UK, a.k.a. Greg, he's here from England and has a question for you.
Hi there, Dr. Mitch.
Great to hear from you, Greg.
I have been asked to ask a question about MS, and we know that cannabis is slows down the progression of MS, but is there any research any feedback on the redevelopment of those areas that have sort of become dark on the brain scans?
We don't have a great animal model of this, but what we do have suggests that there's some alleviation of symptoms with THC and other cannabinoids, but no actual regeneration that we had hoped for. But the tools that we've used so far have been rather blunt instruments, if you will, and there may be some stuff improving comparable to the things we've seen in some other antioxidant studies of the cannabinoids. So I'm cautiously hopeful, but we don't have definitive data yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good question. We have a question from our chat room. Jen Alexander wants to know, did we ever get a firm answer on whether or not a topical application of a cannabis salve would result in a failed drug screen?
As it turns out, from two sources now, I've heard that essentially anything that would create a change in subjective state has the potential to be the creator of a positive drug test. So if you've had enough rubbed on that you felt high, then you've had enough in your system to be detected through a urine screen.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, if you're feeling it, you're gonna get, it's probably gonna come up on a test.
Exactly.
Okay. Taking questions now for Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our Cannabis Science segment. And one of the questions I want to get to you, or do we have a live question? Okay, let's go to our studio audience here. Got a live question for you from Subcool.
Hi, Doctor.
Good to hear from you.
So I am a cannabis breeder, and I created a strain called Jack the Ripper, which has a THCV content of 5%. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, I didn't even know about THCV until we tested for it. So we have found out that it has some pretty serious ramifications for Parkinson's disease due to its reacting on the CB2 receptor. And I was just wanting your thoughts on THCV, if you've heard of it, and also as well THCG.
Yeah, each of these are basically variations on THC and some things that often show up when the plant is, in a sense, converting THC to other cannabinoids as part of its regular process. We don't have much information on these. I'm eager to see two new papers are under review right now that are supposed to be pretty informative about this that I haven't seen yet. The psychoactive properties seem to be comparable to THC at the CB1 receptor, but a little different at that CB2 receptor, which usually isn't a big home for plain old THC, but may be an interesting place for THCV and THCG to latch on. And then the role of CB2 is still pretty wide open. We're seeing it, you know, more peripherally in the body rather than just in the brain. It seems to play an important role in the immune system and in certain motor activities and things like that. So I'm glad to hear that this is a strain that's helpful to Parkinson's. And as we're discovering more and more about the system, I think these are going to be two pathways that are going to be particularly helpful for medical users.
All right. That's a fantastic question.
Great.
We got another question from Greg, Cannabis Cures, getting back in on the mic.
Can I just add to that about Crohn's disease?
The deal with both Crohn's and then some of the precursors to Crohn's and some of the related things as well, that CB2 receptor, particularly along the gastrointestinal tract, seems to be particularly involved. So I'm getting a lot of folks with irritable bowel, a lot of folks with colitis, telling me some strains that are markedly more helpful than others, and we think that perhaps the THCV or the cannabidiol may be playing a really important role in that. I do want to emphasize that sticking to diet, to keeping stress down, and to basically, you know, watching fish oil content and you know, things that are also related to these disorders are really important. You can't just rely on any single medical approach on this. You really do need that behavioral intervention as well.
This strain, Jack the Ripper, is actually high in THCV. Is GW Pharmaceuticals are looking into THCV for Crohn's disease at the moment. I just wanted to know, is there any anything that suggests what symptoms it relieves at all?
I would have to discuss it with GW, but they've been really instrumental in getting the cannabidiol hot, heavy strains, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're at the forefront of this as well.
All right. Excellent questions. Thank you, guys. And we have another question from our chat room. And this one, I use cannabis for anxiety daily, and I also take Valium and Zoloft, but cannabis is the only one that can fully calm me down. Any comment on how cannabis can be beneficial while what's wrong with the Valium and Zoloft? Why are they not helping?
I have to be candid, I am not a fan of Zoloft at all. The two-year follow-up study suggests it's maybe 5% better than placebo. And with anxiety, there are a lot of behavioral treatments that can be really, really helpful. My friend John Forsythe has a couple of books about acceptance and commitment therapy on Amazon that are really delightful for this kind of thing. And I've seen folks who are, you know, avid non-users of cannabis turn to these texts and get remarkably better simply by changing the way they view the world and engaging in some daily exercises and relaxation techniques. So I want to play those up pretty big. Mm-hmm. The role of cannabinoids in anxiety is still poorly understood, but we generally see decreases with strains that aren't too magical ideation inducing, if you will. The things that are more body highs, more couch lock type, rather than these ones that get you to think those wildest thoughts. I'm eager to see people, you know, use it in small doses regularly if that helps, but I feel like the behavioral interventions are so good that, in fact, you can then enjoy your cannabis without worrying about anxiety at all.
Hmm. All right. Well, Dr. Mitch, I think we're just about out of time here, but I want to let people know that if you didn't get a chance to get your question in on today's show, join us next Wednesday when we visit with Dr. Mitch again, or you can send it in by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks so much for joining us as you do each week here on our Cannabis Science.
Good to hear from you.
All right. When we come back, we're visiting live with Subcool, Team Green Avenger. We're back after this.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
Well, if you're a longtime member of the cannabis community, our next guest needs no introduction, but being that this is radio, we're going to give him one anyway. It's Subcool from Team Green Avenger, TGAGenetics.com. Welcome, Subcool.
Thank you very much, Russ. How are you today?
Great, great. We got to meet out. Which event was it? Was it the Denver?
No, it was California Cup.
California, yeah. That's right. The Medical Cannabis Cup out there in San Francisco. Had a good time having you on the show. Glad to have you back, man.
Man, you know, since I was on the show, I actually became a big fan.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I think you're I really enjoy listening to you. Your voice, your persona, your you're good at what you do.
Thank you.
I like your show a hell of a lot more than I like to listen to talk radio.
Yeah.
And a lot of it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And your show doesn't suck. So.
Well, the whole goal of this was, you know, there seems to be a talk radio show for every other subject.
Yeah.
Why not this one, right? Yeah. There's plenty to talk about. And I really like that you jumped in with the Dr. Mitch question. It leads me to my first question for you. You know, as a person who makes a living, as a, you know, working in this industry, working in genetics and breeding and all this, since the advent of medical marijuana, I'll bet it's changed your job a lot because I imagine prior to it, you're primarily breeding for THC, and now you got all these other requirements. People are like, do you have any CBGB? You
know? Yeah. And I'm really behind the times because I'm stubborn as hell. You know? And,
yeah.
And when they started talking about CBDs less than 2 years ago now, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, whatever, it's the new phase, you know. And I was not a big fan of Kush previously in my life.
Yeah.
But I think I mentioned this before, as I've gotten older, I love indicas. The sativas maybe give me a little anxiety. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I learned more at the cup me and you were at just recently than, I mean, scientists were coming up to me telling me we can now do DNA mapping. We can test from the meristem of the plant and check for CBD, THC feed, THCG. So as a breeder, if I have 50 plants in a room, in the old days we had to slowly, painstakingly go through these things you know, and use our, you know, hope. And basically we were marijuana connoisseurs.
Sure.
So we would use our opinion. And luckily, I think I'm a little good at it.
Yeah.
But now it's so much easier. Now we can just say, they say, okay, look, A, B, and C plant have 8% THC, CBD.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm working on now specifically. A good friend of mine, Vernon Phillips, who won the cup with his strains, has offered me his Hairawana, which tests 8% THC and 8% CBD.
Perfect balance.
Perfect balance. So here's my idea. It may be a little far-fetched, but this is what I'm working on. So now we have access to these strains. We're going to work them with the Jack the Ripper. And through crossbreeding and backbreeding, we hope to create an 8-to-8-to-8, a 1-to-1-to-1.
Wow.
With the THCV.
All right.
So.
Well, I want to let people in the chat room know, feel free to message your questions to John, to John there. We'll try to work some of them in. Message them to me. We'll get them in. Or you can call us live at 971-533-7111. That's 971-533-7111. And our first one comes in from the chat room asking you what your opinion on is for a good strain for relaxation.
You know, to relax at night, presently, I am smoking the Bubba Kush.
Yeah.
It's not a strain that I've created, but I smoke a lot of my strains. So my strain, I would recommend the Quirkle. It's a lot like a Merlot wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I actually brought some. So you guys
can smell. Well, you have a camera right there. You can show off.
Show off.
I also had mentioned earlier what a fantastic bit of haberdashery in the hat there.
Blue.
Wonderful little green hat. I'm so jealous. I'm kind of known for my hats, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big hat guy too, you know. And
usually it's just Stevie D'Angelo and me, but now.
Yeah, you know, I have this cowboy hat that I wear at all the events, and Miss Jill was not a fan.
How did I describe it to someone the other day? It's kind of a hayseed crinkled up, thrown in the back seat, 110 degrees, sat on by a big girl, and then worn.
Kind
of hat.
But that was my cup hat, because it's always hot and sunny.
Oh, yeah.
So this is mine.
All right, so what do we got on the show and tell here? We'll go to let me give you the full cam here. It's normally Coleco cam. I got to pull this up, and we'll get a bigger cam shot for you. But there we go. So what are we looking at?
So this is Urkel Dominant Quirkle. So this is one of the strains we work with. It's can I see the camera? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
You can see it.
Good. So
pretty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the reason I like it, though, so it's came in testing kind of low, like a 14%. And for CBD, it was like around a 1.
Yeah.
For me, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
I know they're getting a lot higher than that now. But, you know, it has the taste of a Merlot wine with a little bit of herb in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's stoner wine. Our new black cherry soda is really good for nighttime, too, especially because for someone old like me, if I start smoking the Bubba Kush too early at night, I'll pass hell out.
So, I'm getting there, too.
Okay, so we've been smoking the Plush Berry at night because, I hate to call it mild because that sounds like I'm saying it sucks, because it doesn't suck.
It's
just, you know, Vortex, when you smoke Vortex, you know, it's on this side of an acid trip.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You smoke a lot of it.
Yeah.
Versus the Plush Berry, you can actually roll it in your mouth and enjoy some iced bong hits.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, I think this is one of the downsides of Prohibition, and it happened during alcohol Prohibition, is beer and wine went away and it was all whiskey because the smugglers needed to smuggle the potent stuff to make the money.
Yeah.
And the same thing has happened with marijuana, where we have these, you know, super strong, you know, knock you on your ass couch lock strains out there that everybody wants to push. But no, I mean, as I get older, I do want a sipping weed, if you will. You know, something I could just sit back and relax with. So is there more demand for that now with the medical industry popping up?
Yeah, there really is. I get – a lot of times I get people who have simply ordered my Jack the Ripper or Vortex or got bought a clone of that because they've heard about it. You know, it's famous. You know, Jack the Ripper tested for 25% in Denver, and I didn't grow it. Some guy just admitted the sample. I was like, holy crap. You know, what the hell? So, you know, if you are a, say, medical user that just went down to the local THCF and got your card, and the first bud you ever smoked is some Vortex, I mean, I'm not sure you're going to smoke a second one.
No, probably not.
You know? So someone the other day actually sent me an email, and they wanted to know could I go back in the lab and make Jelly Bean more potent? You know? And I'm a little offended, but I try and interview people. You know, there's a place for every one of the things that we've created. We didn't do it willy-nilly. And Jelly Bean is for smoking in the morning time. It's for bringing your mood up. You can be depressed and smoke a couple of bowls of it, and you're singing, and you got Bachman Turner Overdrive turned up. And, you know,
now we're dating ourselves here.
Right. So that's what it's for. But if you have been smoking all day, or say you were a chronic user, and that was the only strain you smoked all day long, then yeah, by evening you're going to say, I need something stronger.
All right.
Well, we've got another question in our chat room wants to know, for an ADHD patient, what is a long-lasting strain that can get me through work or school, right? ADHD, but he wants something, you know, time release there so he can make it through a whole school day.
Yeah, you know, I would recommend Jack the Ripper for that. And before I do that, I mean, I hate to recommend strains to people because I'm not a doctor. I am a stoner. And that is my profession. So you really shouldn't take advice from someone who spends as much time in a grow room as I do. But I have learned a lot, and based on the feedback, I think I am a source of information. I just don't want, you know, anybody to think that I have any clinical knowledge. So based on the feedback, the Jack the Ripper seems to be really strong, but the THCV seems to act as a regulator. We always wondered why it had a weird high.
Yeah.
You stay high on it for a long time, but it's like something's holding it back.
Yeah.
And I thought that before these guys told me about this. You know, I was like, well, it's really strong, and people tell me all these stories about it. But so anyway, it's also, you know, a lot of the drugs that are prescribed for ADHD, which I've had as a young person, and I probably still have. I solve it by working all the time and writing a lot. But they're kind of speed-based drugs?
Sure.
Okay.
Adderalls.
Okay, you're with me. Yeah. You are so with me all the time, Buzz. Okay, so the Jack the Ripper is basically a speed-like strain, so I would recommend that because you're not going to fall asleep, obviously.
Sure.
I would recommend you start in slow doses because, you know, it's very strong. And I do know that Jack the Ripper is also somewhat available as far as dispensaries nationwide.
Right on. Well, we're sitting here speaking with Subcool, breeder geneticist extraordinaire for TGA, Team Green Avenger. Check it out at tgagenetics.com. And, people in the chat room are talking about Jelly Bean. They say it's the best strain name ever. They love the name. Of course, people know you, your partner, Ms. Jill, also breeding and making different strains. Does that lead to kind of like a family competition, you guys?
At first, you know, we've been together for 7 years now.
Yeah.
And at first, you know, we bred together. We've become
but you did. Uh-huh. Say no more.
We've become a different family. But the easiest way I can say it is I drilled holes in all our hydro buckets. They have dirt, and not a lot of people go in my grow room. Okay. So I grow specific strains just for Miss Jill. She likes to smoke the Vortex, and she's a competitive bodybuilder, and so she likes to be up.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you smoke Vortex and go spin, but she does.
It's crazy. I've done it. Yeah, I've definitely done some swimming on Vortex.
Yeah.
Do some lab swimming.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of these things that it's such a stimulating buzz that, you know, she really likes to go get into it. So, any more questions?
I have someone who's asking. They want to make a Rick Simpson oil.
Okay.
What would be the highest CBD strain from you that they could probably work with?
You know, I can't recommend one of my strains. You know,
no?
If you want CBDs, I got to be honest. You know, there's so much more out there. The Hairawana is one that if I was looking for, I am going to work with the Hairawana at 8%. The Harlequin.
Yeah.
Harlequin's pretty popular to get a hold of. It's around 8% as well. I'm trying to remember the other one that George Cervantes just told me about.
Canatonic?
Thank you so much.
Nerd.
Yeah, the thing about the Canatonic is it's really unstable. It's all over the place. I'm writing an article about this because people have got to understand that a pack of seeds from the cannabis world is not like a pack of seeds from burpee tomatoes.
Yeah.
And it requires a grower skill to develop and find. until we had the labs. Now you can just grow a pack out and have them all tested. But that's a different subject. But these are strains that are specifically bred for CBD content. So mm-hmm. if that's what you're looking for, these are the three I would recommend.
All right. Well, it's been fun here hanging out with Subcool for the podcast. We're going into hour two on our live stream. So at live.normal.org, like we do every day. For you podcast listeners, we got to call it, though. We're up to the end of the hour. So thanks for joining us for Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, Wiz Calico, Adam Hand, Cannabis Cure, Craig from Normal, Subcool, Jackie. We've had a full studio today. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Check out handmadeapparel.biz for your new Ganja John hats and Radical Russ hats.
Yeah!
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.